There is sunshine in my soul today, more glorious and bright than falls in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my Lord. Oh, the sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll, when Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King, and Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is gladness in my soul today, and hope and praise and love, for blessings which he gives me now, for joys laid up above. Oh, there's sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in my soul. There is sunshine in my soul.
Thank you, and thank you again. The scripture says in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 11, and verse 13. I hope you learn these by heart. I try to. I have not memorized it yet. But it's such a beautiful scripture that describes our worship to God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We thank God for that. Let's turn to our hymn book number one. And as you open the hymn book, I will say two things. Number one, I'm going to give you a brief announcement. And number two, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing, O Worship the King. If you are a visitor and you never have done this, I ask you just to separate one section of the church bulletin, and you can give us your name and address and so on. It's for the reason that I like to send you a car, and I like to say thank you for coming to our church today and worship with us. In the church bulletin, you notice there is a beautiful layout for father and son and a breakfast, just actually a men breakfast. Reverend Jack Van Dyken, he's from Holland, he is a former army chaplain who lives in Modesto, will come and minister the word to us on that day. I asked him if he can make the trip. He's 80 years old, he's in full activity and a wonderful man who has served the Lord during the war, and I really like to have him with us. He comes to the radio often and have lunch with me and so on. And I want you to hear the stories how God have reached his heart, and he has reached many, many, many hearts of the men in the army. So I thought it's going to be a great day for all of us. There is also a baby shower, and there is a happenings with all the activities of the week. There is a prayer thing, and there is a letter from our missionary and a paper to take notes. Well, a lot of things in our, a lot of propaganda in our church polity. Let's pray together. Father, how we love you, and how are we thankful that you are with us today, because the Bible said, with two or three gathered together in my name, I am in their midst. And you are with us, within our heart and within the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, I pray for me that you will help me to lift up Jesus today, that I may with clarity present the mighty and the majesty and the power and the mercy and the love of God today. And that the people listening in the auditorium may go home refreshing with renewed energies to serve you tomorrow. Those listening in the tape ministry may pass on the tape with enthusiasm, because God is God. And those who listen at this very hour over the KKMC radio station may glorify your name, because you are a mighty God. Then, Father, I pray that as we go through the service, you bless the choir as they praise your name. You bless the solace and bless the people as they sing the song to praise your name. Oh, worship the King. And then, Father, we have some of our members in vacation already, and I pray that you bless them, and that they today, they will remember that this is your day, and they will be in church today somewhere, wherever they are. Father, I thank you for helping my wife to help my daughter as a family unit. Even though she's married, she's still my daughter. And how wonderful it is that you provide for her a different house to live with more facilities for these three granddaughters of mine. And I'm thankful, God, for the mercies and the energy that you give Raquel in doing all of these. And she needs a little more space to finish the task. And Lord, give her energy. And today as she worship in the Bible Church of Portland, Lord, bless her and touch her heart. I miss her, and I pray that you, this Wednesday when she come back, we will have a wonderful and rejoiced time. And this is our duty as parents. Never ends, Lord, always helping our children. Thank you, Father, that you have created home, that you gave us instruction in your Bible, that our children will remain forever our children. In pain and in joy, we will be the people that will support them, because you, Christ, taught us that. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, as we go through the service, we pray that each one of us may go home after the service saying, I know what to do with my life, because I have received thy word with gladness. Lord, we have some missionaries that we support. Some of them are in Ukraine, others in Spain, and I know that very soon we will have Eusebius with us. Lord, I was in his church in Spain, and I want to have him here for the anniversary of our church. And so there are people listening to our missionary preach. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to have people like that. And thank you for Pastor Mendoza, who was last week in the Coachella Valley and held evangelism the whole week preaching over there. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Mario, who allowed him to come in the Coachella Valley of California and preach the word. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. There are still people, still 7,000, who are willing to listen and willing to preach. Bless our president and all the difficulties in his personal life and in his life as an officer. Bless him, Lord. Speak to him. He goes to church every Sunday. Bless his pastor, that he may preach the word with love and kindness, but with firmness. Bless his wife and protect his daughter. And now as we continue in the service, may we praise you for what you are, a mighty and a God who is over all. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us even now. Amen. Will you stand and open the hymn books at number one, please? The hymn book at number one, Oh, Worship the King. Many of you know this is my favorite song, Oh, Worship the King.
Thank you.
Father, we come into thy presence again. These times with words of thanksgiving. You provide for us last week. And so out of thy provision, we bring this love offering for the furthering of the gospel. Bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, I pray. Amen. My friends, this is Pastor Darrell speaking to you, and I want to just briefly, as the offertory day place in the church, give you the announcement again on June 20, 1998, at 8 a.m., June 20, this coming Saturday, at 8 a.m., our church will have the Father and Son breakfast, and you are invited. Nothing you have to bring or do, just come. Highway 101 and Tenen Avenue. We are at the southwest corner of the highway. You will see the church from the highway, and it's just so beautiful to have guests coming in. Pastor Jack Van Dyken will be with us, and he's a former chaplain, and we love to have as many men as possible. We know now that there are about 65 men already signed up for this, and we pray that you bring your son. If you don't have a son, borrow one and come in. I don't have a son, I only have one daughter, and I want to borrow one and to be here to enjoy the service. So please take note of that. And once again, I want to give you the phone number of our church, 778-2595. Usually, I am about a half hour or 40 minutes after the service here. If you need to talk to me immediately, you can call and they will call me and I will be taking care of you. 778-2595. This is Pastor Otero, who cares and loves you. May the Lord richly bless you as you listen to God's word and the praises to God. Let's join the service in progress.
Praise Him, praise Him, tell Him it's a Thank you, choir. We ask you now that you take your Bibles and to turn to Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading in that Bible on page 49. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent thou shalt take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall turn to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod, smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, so they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Lord, blessed is thy holy name. We praise and worship thee, Almighty God, because of thy mercy upon our souls, so that we're able to praise thee and worship thee, Almighty God. We ask, O Lord God, as we see in thy word today, as the first plague against Egypt, the turning the river to blood, O Lord God, and Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. We pray for those, Almighty God, that still have hardened hearts, that you may soften them, O Lord God, as your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, proclaims the gospel today, that you will let that word enter into their hearts, give them a new heart, and wash them in the blood of Christ, making them your children also, O Lord God, that they may glorify thy name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
To the King of Kings, for he alone is grand and glorious. Praise to the Lord of Lords, for he alone will reign victorious. Praise to the King of our salvation, praise to the Lord of righteousness. Praise to the God of new creation, glorify him and praise his holy name. Praise to the King of Kings, for he is crowned with truth and righteousness. Praise to the Lord of Lords, for he is clothed with joy and faithfulness. Praise to the Lord, for he is glorious, calls his children to his throne. Praise to the Lord, our God victorious, calming the gods to glorify his own. Praise to the King of Kings, for he alone is grand and glorious. Praise to the Lord of Lords, for he alone will reign victorious. Praise to the King of our God of new creation, glorify him and praise his holy name.
Thank you, Moira. Let's look to the Lord in prayer for our morning preparation for the meditation on God's Word. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our intercessor. And we pray that as we meditate upon thy Word, the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the Scripture, may reveal to us the message you have for each one of us. Help me to discern thy word, not to move to the left or to the right, but with purity of heart and thought, bring your word to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. There is in the Bible a challenging question, and is found in Exodus chapter 5. So if you have a Bible with you and you would like to turn there, you will see the mighty question and the statement made by a mighty king. Now, here it is, what in Exodus chapter 5, a great man in power of this earth have to say. Before I read this statement, may I ask somebody ask me, just in a casual manner, this question. How do you know that God is God? And the man who asked me the question was a man of science. And he said, I don't want any answer that it's a, you know, that's floppy and so on. You and I are science man. You're a former civil engineer, and I'm a medical doctor, and I want a scientific answer to the question, how do you know, Gabriel, that God is God? I smiled and I said to the fellow, well, your question has been placed thousands of years before you. And right here in Exodus chapter 5 and in verse 2. Pharaoh, the greatest government at that time, like President Clinton will be today, in this time in which we live, the greatest, more powerful man upon this earth. When a preacher came to him by Moses, what a preacher. When a preacher came to him to talk to him and talk about freedom of religion and freedom of the heart and freedom of people to worship God, he questioned in verse 2 in Exodus chapter 5. The Bible said that Pharaoh says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And who is God? How do you know that your God is bigger than me? That's what he's saying. Who is your God that I will obey him? Well, I tell you something, he got the answer. He got the answer not only from Moses. He got the answer from God. Our brother have read the answer, and I want you to see it. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 17. See, God brought a judgment upon Pharaoh. And the reason why God brought judgment upon Pharaoh and upon his land is just for one purpose only. The Pharaoh will know that God is God. Look at verse 17 in Exodus chapter 7. Thus said the Lord, in these thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So I want to talk to you about the answer to the question, how do I know that God is God? And I want to do it like the man told me, with intelligent mind and with a scientific answer. Of course, the scientific answer will be from the Bible for us. Number one, I want to talk about the cause of Pharaoh's confusion and my friend's confusion. The cause. Why my friend was so confused, he cannot see God. And why Pharaoh was so confused, he cannot see God. Then, on the top of that, I want to see the mercy of God upon Pharaoh and upon us. And then, the reason for God's intervention at that particular moment in the life of Pharaoh. Then, God's mercy published. No secret with Christianity. God is so merciful that not only he put his mercy in action upon Pharaoh, he published his mercy. And then I want to talk about the day of judgment because I arrived. And of course, what do you do when the day of judgment is upon you? So the response to the day of judgment. So this will be, even though it's a sermon that talks about easy 10,000 years ago, it's so fresh. It's just like today when people said in their heart, well, who's God? That we should read the Bible in the schools in America. Who is God that we should pray when the Senate opened their session? They're still praying, but people still question, who is God? Here's the answer. The cause, first, of Pharaoh's confusion. Verse 14. Look at verse 14. Here's the cause of Pharaoh's confusion. Verse 14. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Pharaoh's heart is hardened. You know what that means? Means this. Pharaoh cares less about God. You, Moses, can talk to him day and night. You, Moses, can show him the mighty of God in your life. But Pharaoh cares less about God. You know, the same thing happened to us. Pharaoh is not an exception. Pharaoh is no Samson. Oh, look at that terrible man. What he did. No. Pharaoh is just an example of who we are. Pharaoh hardened his heart. See, if you refuse to recognize God, you will never find him. Let me show it to you in the Bible, in Proverbs. Please move your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 18. If you refuse to acknowledge God, you will never find it by science and discovering God by an experiment. No, sir. Look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 28 and in verse 14. Happy is the man that fear alway, but he that harden his heart shall fall into what? Into mischief. I mean, you're going to go from confusion to confusion. No wonder that America is confused. And they send a telescope in the space. There's nothing wrong in sending a telescope to the space. Please do not misunderstand me. The only trouble is the purpose why. I'm against the telescope in this place, not because they spend my taxes, but because they spend my taxes unwisely. They want to have that telescope in this space so that they can find where we came from. Cheaper than billions of dollars. I settle for just $1 million. I read Genesis 1. Send to Bethel Baptist Church directly to the treasury. I give you the news. See, but man now, he saw something, and now he has to do something else. And it's going to go from confusion to confusion. And that's not new. That's in Pharaoh's time. What's the cause? The heart. The heart. The heart. The cause of Pharaoh's confusion is the heart. Now, you think that God's going to be tough on him. No, he shows mercy. And so now, let me show you the mercy of God in action. The mercy of God in action, verse 15 and verse 16. And I go slowly, paragraph by paragraph, so that you can see it in your Bible. The mercy of God in action. You and I sometimes get an anger. You and I sometimes get, especially Latins, they get really, really tough. But I tell you something, I'm glad for the God that we have who is full of mercy and compassion to us. I'm glad that God, and he knows who we are, rebellious people. He knows we care less about him, and he shows mercy to us. What an example for us fathers, for our children when they get in rebellion. But that's another topic. But let's go. Look, verse 15. See the mercy of God in action. God told Moses to meet Pharaoh. Look at verse 15. Get thee unto Pharaoh. Get Moses. You go and see Pharaoh in the morning. And where do you hang up in the morning? In the kitchen, drinking a cup of coffee? I'll tell you my secret. Really in the morning. 4:30 rings my alarm clock, so I go right to the kitchen. I had the coffee prepared last night, the night before. And so I go and plug my coffee machine, all right? And then I go and take a shower and get beautiful and good looking and whatever. But then I just go to the kitchen, and if you want to talk to me at 5:15, I'm in the kitchen. That's when I hang up. Now, here's what happened. God knows when you hang up in the morning, you know. Well, what is your place? Some people go to a bar, some people go to different places. All right, God knows where you are. Look at what he said. Go and see Pharaoh. And he goes out into the water. He goes by the river bank. And thou shalt stand by the river bank and confront him and meet him face to face. You just go. All right, that's the mercy of God. Number two, Moses was to take his rod and his staff with him. Look at verse 15. And the rod, which was turned into a serpent, shall thou take in thy hand. So the only thing you're going to go with to meet him, don't take any books, don't take any weapons, don't take anything. Just take the rod of God. Picture of the Bible, don't we? Picture of the Bible. Take the rod of God with you. Nothing else. Nothing else. I remember when somebody wanted to argue with me in the East Coast about the hymn. He said, my confession of faith. I said, well, put the confession of faith away. Just get your Bible. I don't care if you're a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, a Roman Catholic. Listen, let's put those names away. Get your Bible. This is the rule and practice of our life. So he said, get your rod with you. Now, verse 16. What Moses was supposed to do? Moses was to proclaim God's word to him. Look at here, verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrew has sent me unto thee. See, the Lord God of the Hebrew. Not my church, not my denomination, not somebody else. God sent me to you. And isn't that fantastic? When we talk to somebody, be sure you do not say, we Baptists, or we this, or we the other. You say, God said. All right, what else? These are the mercy of God. Moses was to reprove Pharaoh. Look at here in verse 16. You're going to say this to him, to the most powerful man on this earth. I mean, this man can execute Moses and just moving his finger. He can say, Moses, go, and he will be dead. But Moses is in the hand of God. And he's speaking to Pharaoh. What did he have to say? And God said, you say this, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Wow! You reprove Pharaoh. You tell Pharaoh it is illegal for you to have a slavery. It is illegal for you not to have freedom of religion. It is illegal for you. It's not legal that you will do anything you want with people. You do not own people. God owns people. And therefore, regardless if that race is Jewish or you are Egyptian, half Arab and half something else, God said, we are free and you cannot do that. And you, Moses, go and tell him. Now be sure you have your rod with him. Be sure you have your rod with him. You go and tell me. Now that's God's mercy. We don't think in that way when somebody reproves us, don't we? But that's God's mercy. Listen, when the pastor intercept you, because I know what some of you hang up, and when the pastor intercept you and confront you and reprove you, if you are not doing God's will, that's God's mercy. That's not, some people say, that's my business. I do what you want with my life. No, if you have a good pastor, if you have a good pastor that cares for you, and he knows and patiently waits and waits and waits and waits, and he knows that you are doing, you're just, rather than getting on the way, you're getting a little off and a little off and a little off. If you have a good pastor, regardless if it's me or anybody else, if you have a good pastor, he find out where you hang up and he meets you in the morning and he say, hi, how are you? It's me. I will always smile first. Now why? Take a look here. 2 Timothy, please. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Look what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here is the ordination of a pastor. Timothy was very young. Some people speculate as young as 17 years old. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it, so why should I say it? But I know he was young. And he was Paul's disciple. And the mighty Apostle Paul was the pastor of the church of Ephesus, the book of Acts said, for 2 years. And in Acts chapter 20, he said, all right, son, this is your church. How do you like to take a church with pastor, the pastor before was Paul? What am I going to do now? Here's what Paul says. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, kerusson ton logon. In my seminary, those words were written in Greek, right in the front and in the back. So I asked my professor, why in the back? So that you preach the word, son. So that you see it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Now listen now. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so here you have the mercy of God in action. When the pastor comes to you with the word of God, and the pastor suggests to you, now look, my brother, check your life against this scripture. Because I will never say you are wrong. I'm not a fool. Only God will say you are wrong. But I will say to you, what you're doing now, look it into the mirror and see if you're doing well. And if you need help, here's my shoulder. I will never judge you. I will never judge you. And I hope you never judge me. So when a moment comes that I need help, you put your shoulder too. And together, we go on. Well, here it is, the mercy of God in action. Now, verse 17, as I said at the beginning, is the reason for God's intervention. Look at what God said in verse 17, Exodus chapter 7. Thus said the Lord, in these thou shalt know that I am the Lord. See, Pharaoh worshiped false God. The Bible doesn't say it, but the book of history said, the Pharaoh will go early in the morning and worship the Nile River. Actually, Pharaoh worshiped 7 gods, the 7 gods that God put the plagues on. And the first god that in the morning Pharaoh worshiped and loved is the Nile River. And God said, I meet you where your God meets you. And you will know, said the Bible, that I am God. Worse than that. You know, Pharaoh himself was considered God in Egypt. He is God. Thus, he fell what so many people feel about themselves today. That you can determine your own fate and that you can do what you want with your life. There are some people like that today. Pharaoh thought that way. I can do what I want with my life. I'm the most powerful man in this world. I can kill anybody I want to. I can take over any country I want to. I can do whatever I want to. And so God said, I want to talk to you. There are people like that today. There are people who said, we live in America. Look at the dollar and the prosperity of America. What has got to do with your soul and heart? Nothing. But people take that. I can do what I want with my life. I got a call from a friend who told me, I'm in business and science, and I got this job, and a good job, $13,000 a month. So he buys a home. A $6,000 a month payment. And now he's laid off. And he calls Pastor Otero for prayer. You think I want to pray that somebody paid $5,000 a month house? I said, you don't need prayer for your payment. You need prayer for your heart. See, the earth is filled with the remains of men who thought that they could fill the role of God in this world, that they can mold their own lives in the way they want to. The earth is filled of people who determine, they thought they can determine their own destiny and fate. The earth is full of people that set their future and success in their mind. Am I going to do this with my life until God put the brakes on it? You want some examples? I give you. We don't look in the scripture, but I tell you. What's the first man that thought he can do whatever he wants with his life? Adam. Genesis 3:5. Satan said, if you eat whatever is an apple or not, I don't know. But if you eat this, you'll be like God. And Adam said, yes, sir, I'll be like God. And he was confused after. What is the second man? Pharaoh. What is the third man? Nebuchadnezzar, remember? He never knew in his life that God was moving him from Assyria into Israel to punish Israel. He thought, I conquer Egypt, I conquer Iran, now I conquer Jerusalem. I'm the man! Until God put the brakes on him. What was the next man? Herod, when Jesus was born. Who was born? Jesus, King of the Jews. Let's kill him. He ended up very badly, if you know the scripture. What about Alexander the Great in Greece? I conquered the world. He conquered the Persian Empire. But he died at 31. What about Adolfo Hitler? See, he wanted to create a super race called the Aryans. And he committed suicide. What about Voltaire, the French thinker? He died as an unbeliever. What about Thomas Hobbes? If you know philosophy, he is an English philosopher. You know what happened? When he died, he said these words, I am taking a fearful leap into the dark. Here's a philosopher. What about the American philosopher where everything comes in psychology, Robert Ingersoll. When his brother died, he said, the curtains fall, will it raise again? Wow. See, here is what the scripture has to say to anyone who wants to do whatever you want with your life. Look in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25. If you are like Pharaoh, that you want to do anything that pleases you and never respect the word of God, in Proverbs chapter 16 and in verse 25, look what the scripture says. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are in the ways of death. Let me make just a little correction. There is a way that seems right unto men, but in the end leads you to death. You see it? If you are doing whatever you want with your life, respecting no God and respecting nothing about God, you are in the wrong highway. That's what God is saying. Now, God is still merciful. And going back to Exodus chapter 7, God published his merciful statement. You know, God could got that blood into the river in a second, a split of a second. God could say, all the rivers be blood, and they're going to be blood. But God is merciful. And so what God does to Pharaoh, he publishes his mercy. Look at again in verse 17 of chapter 7 of Exodus. The Nile River will be turned to blood. This is the news that Moses brings to him. In these thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with a rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. Now he's getting the news from the man with a rod. And he's saying to Pharaoh that the river is going to be turned into blood. God's mercy is published in full detail. Look at it in verse 18. The fish will die and the water will stink. Verse 18. And the fish that is in the river shall die and the river shall stink. Now he got the picture, the whole picture. Verse 18 again. The water will not be proper for drinking. Look at it. And the river shall stink and the Egyptians will not be able to drink of the water of the river. Now, God's very clear. He's not confused. Look at them, verse 19. The judgment will cover not only the Nile River, but all the rivers. Now, in verse 18, God used a singular word for the word river. But in verse 19, he used a plural word. Look at how important it is. And the Lord is speaking to Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon the rivers, and upon the ponds, and upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood. So there is no partial judgment. It's a full judgment. Somebody told me, a little confused the other day, he said, well, when the Lord will come, we'll judge the Gentiles, but not the Jewish people. No. You got it all wrong. When God judged, he judges a black, a white, a yellow, a green, if they are green people, whatever. God makes no distinction, this person against the other. An Italian is no better than a German. A German is no better than an Italian. In the eyes of God, we are human beings. And when God brings the judgment, it's upon all. Like the flood was upon the whole earth, my friend. There is no partiality with God. So what is that thought? What is that lesson? God's mercy is public. Is any publication about the judgment of God? Yes, it is. Look in the book of Hebrews in the Bible. In Hebrews in chapter 9, please. If you will turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 9, here's a publication of the judgment of God. And look in verse 27. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and in verse 27 these words, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after these the judgment. God, what are you talking about judgment? You want more detail? God gave details to Pharaoh. He gave us detail to us. Go to Revelation chapter 20. And look in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. In chapter 20, starting in verse 12, look at what God says. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So that's a real judgment, Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. I mean, nothing escapes in the eyes of God. And you can get away with things here on this earth, but not when you are standing before God as a judge. Everything is there. Look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. I don't know. It's one thing to read it. Another thing is to have a little box with the ashes of somebody and go in a boat. I did this 3 or 4 times in my life. And then the law of the state of California required that 4, 6 o'clock in the morning, you should do this. And then you spread the ashes of somebody on the sea. And as you do it, I read these verses. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the dead and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Look in verse 14. And the dead and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second dead. And whosoever, look at the mercy of God, who was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe your name may be written in a local church on this earth, but that do not avail it for anything. You can have a certificate signed by Pastor Otero. I was baptized in Bethel Baptist Church. It means nothing, my brother. As a matter of fact, I don't like to sign any certificate or anything. When you become a member, we don't give you any certificate of membership because, you know, I don't want you to be confused. You have to be a member of the body of Christ in heaven, in the presence of the living God. And those who were written in the book of life, and God only write those names, was cast into the lake of fire. If your name is not there, you're gone forever. So God in mercy have published over and over and over. Isn't it amazing that all the books of great philosophers, have you read Plato? Well, some of you went to college, have to read that. Aristotle's and all these people. I read all of these. I forgot what they said. But I tell you something. Here's a book. And I tell the people of science, here's a book. Century goes and century comes, century goes and century comes. Here is a book that stands. You know why? It's the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. So man can read about God and be convicted by God. And so Pharaoh had that opportunity. Now he did not listen, so the day of judgment came. Verse 20, going back into Exodus, verse 20 and 21, and Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. Now the day of judgment came. Now look the steps. Number one, the preacher obeyed the word of God. Exodus 7, verse 20. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. The preacher obeyed the word of God. Woe unto me if I don't give you the warnings of the word of God. Woe unto me if I don't preach you the word of God. The preacher obeyed the word of God. Verse 20. Then the river turned into blood. And he lifted up the rod and smote the water that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the water that were in the river were turned to blood. Can you imagine Pharaoh? The Nile is his God. And come this little shepherd, which means nothing, Moses. And he take his rod and he touched the waters and they become blood. And verse 21 tell us that whatever God said happened. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stunk, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. Can you imagine the farmers? They cannot irrigate their places. Unbelievable. And there was blood through all the land of Egypt. Just exactly as God said. My brother and my sister, my friend, when we preach about the day of judgment, it's not that we want to scare you. I hope you get scared. But when we preach about the day of judgment, is we preach it because we do not want you to go through it. We want you to have the best lawyer possible ever, the only lawyer by which you're going to pass, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that we have a lawyer before God. The King James said an advocate. A lawyer means somebody who speaks on behalf of us. But if you do not have the lawyer, the day of judgment will come one day. And the world will end. And you will stand before God naked in the presence of a mighty God. Which one thought which is wrong will make you guilty. Can you imagine that? Now, what was the response to the judgment? Verse 22 to 25 is the response. Verse 22, the Pharaoh rather than turning to Moses and kneel down and said, "Mercy, please," he called the false preacher. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantment. Now, how do I know these were false preachers? Well, if the magicians had possessed really godly power, they would have turned the bloody waters back into the pure waters. But they didn't. You see that? The magicians imitate what Moses did. And that's what the false preachers will do. They will imitate what the preacher will do. They will talk to you about the love of God. They will talk to you about the success of God's people. They will talk to you about many things, but will never warn you of the judgment to come. They will never talk to you about hell. They will never talk to you that we are depraved and we need the new nature of God in Christ Jesus to be right with God. They will talk about anything else except the whole counsel of God. These are the false preachers. And that's what the magicians did. If they were powerful, they will touch the waters and the waters will become water again. But they didn't. They're just trying to imitate and go along. Turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at what the Bible says about false teachers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." Verse 14 now, in 2 Corinthians 11. "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers," Satan has his pastors, "also be transformed as the pastors of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So you got to be careful what you hear. You have to be careful what you hear. Satan has pastors. Satan has churches. Now, if a church had a name over there, the Church of Satan, you will not go in, sure. But he's an angel of light. And he has people preaching just psychology in the Bible, but not the Bible. And he has people preaching about the good part of the Bible, but never make a warning to you that if you remain in your sin and if you die in your sin, you go to hell. Never making a warning to you. Ladies and gentlemen, God is God. Pharaoh thought that the Nile River, that was God. And God used a little man, Moses, dressed like a shepherd, with a little piece of wood that he found someplace and became the rod of God. And he touched those waters and never again Pharaoh can drink. The power was not in Moses. The power is not in the preacher. The power is in the rod. This book that I hold in my hands. Oh, may you with a real desire look upon the word of God. Somebody told me, "Pastor, this book is very hard to believe." Sir, it is impossible to believe. But if you read the book, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. Not by hearing philosophy, not by hearing science, but by hearing the word of God. So you don't have to worry about how difficult it is. You don't have to worry how impossible it is. You don't have to worry how odd it is. That a simple tingly man will go with a rod and touch the waters and become blood. Can you believe that? Yes, I do, because the Bible says so. And a mighty man calls false pastors, and I'm not surprised that they did it almost the same, but they cannot turn the water back into water. Pastor, what I had to do to be in the hands of this merciful God? The book of Revelation says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, what a merciful God we have. But I want to remind you that God is God, and you cannot fool him, neither I. Thank you, Father, that you explain things so beautifully in the scripture for young people, for elderly people, even for babies. Lord, you have power. You're God. And when I was young, Lord, I care less about that. I thought I was going to be the greatest soccer player in the world, and Grandma went to church because she needed, but I don't. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the day that missionary talked to me and showed me in your word my destiny, who was hell. Thank you for convicting me. Thank you for giving me light and love and peace. Thank you for giving me a wife who believes and a daughter who believes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. These are your mercy. Bless your people. Bless those who listen, that they too may receive your mercy by believing. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you for what you're going to do with us. Amen. Will you please turn your hymn books as we close at number 394. 394. I surrender all. And we're going to sing stanza number 4, the very last stanza of this hymn. Will you stand, please, as we close together? Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, according as you yield to him. And when all is done, we're going to give the glory and the honor to our Savior. Amen.